our 11th month of our family focus series. So we're going to be bringing up a new topic tonight. If this is your first time and you want to get caught up, it's 2023. You can go back and watch them all. Listen to them all, just like catching up on a podcast. You can even probably play it at like 1.25 speed if you want. So, but some announcements. This Friday, November 3rd, is all church prayer. That's here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. So this Friday at 7 p.m. here in the church. And then the last thing is if we have our giving options up on the screen. If there's multiple different ways you can give. You can give online. You can give via mail. You can give on the... We have a great Church Center app. You can go on the Church Center app and give as well. And you can send something in if you'd like by snail mail. That's always an option too. I just found out that it takes like almost 7 weeks to mail something from Italy to Marshall, Wisconsin. So I just discovered that. It takes quite some time. It would probably take yours a lot less if you were to mail something to the church. So let's all stand tonight. The interesting part about midweek services is that in most cases, maybe I'm just talking for myself, like just trying to decompress from the day and the week takes energy, right? I don't get to do that when I come home, right? There's a little kids and dinner and cleanup, and then you add church into that, like there's really no decompression period, right? There's no time to just take a break and remind yourself that, wow, I'm a child of God. This is all going to pass someday. And what matters is this and not this, right? And so let's take some time right now. We're going to pray, but let's take some time to worship. Get lost in it. Get lost into thinking about God, thinking about the things he's done for you, thinking about how awesome he is, even if in the moment it doesn't feel like it. And let's just take some time and worship God tonight. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you for this service. Thank you for this church, this community, God, but thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit that's guiding us, God. Thank you for your word, God. God, we're here to lift you up, God, above everything else. God, we want to hear from you. We want our hearts to be good soil, God. We leave aside the things of today and of this week and of this month, of the things that are coming up in the future months, God. And we want to focus on you right now, God. Have your way in this service tonight. In Jesus' name.
Stand amazed.
There's no one higher than God. Man. That song right before the one they sang, they talked about change. You change everything. I know it's music, so it has to end and it has to rhyme and all that, but there's really a paragraph. There's like a parenthesis after that. Like, if we let him, he's not going to force himself on any of us. He's not going to say, Brother Carey, I'm going to make you change your life. But if we will surrender to him and to his way of doing things, he does change our lives. Right? That's why he says, I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And I'm just going to shove it on you. No. He says, follow me and you're going to have life. You could be seated tonight. God is so good. I'm excited for another Family Focus Wednesday with our series. And there's an announcement I forgot to make. I'm sorry, Pastor Roy, but we'll do it now. Holy Ghost Sunday was last Sunday, and Sister Vicky, as usual, I don't know if she's here. She's phenomenal. We love Sister Vicky. 9 people were filled with the Holy Ghost, and 1 person was baptized. That's God. That's God leading our steps. He's doing something. I don't know if you can feel it. I can feel it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So our series this whole year has been on the way is life. And this all started, and we'll go back and forth here a little bit. Okay, here we go. We got a new one of these. We're going to try it out. I don't know if I have to turn it back on. Do I have to turn it back on, Jess? Okay, I got to turn it back on. Just so you all know, every month, this is 100% user error. Okay, oh, there it is. See, look at this. It's 100% user error. Oh, look at that. Give Jess a hand. She got us a new one. And I'm sure John helped a little bit too. So we should, yeah. We know you're helping, John. It's okay. So our series for the year has been The Way is Life. And I'd love to say that I was reading this verse and it was just God speaking down to me and that's where this came from. But it really didn't. It started with a conversation with my wife. And I would be amiss. I don't say this much. I know some people, you know, I sometimes people say, oh, Peter, good job, thank you, you know, whatever. But what you guys don't understand is that my wife is amazing. And she is 100% my best friend and behind me all the time. And pretty much all of my life would be really bad if she wasn't in it. And there's proof for that, scientific proof, for those of you that knew me about 15 years ago. So thank you. I love you. So my wife and I were talking, and that's what... We were both kind of feeling led of God, like, what is God speaking to families? And it's this idea of following God's way of doing things above all the rest of this world. But the rest of this world has us thinking that, well, you know, shopping is life and learning is life and cooking is life and hobbies is life and fashion is life and Lego is life, Phil, right? Praise God. No, you're not supposed to amen that one. Yeah. And Lego is life, and ministry is life, and church is life. But it's following God's way that brings us life. And so that's been the theme, and we've been trying to go through a bunch of things. And it all starts with Jesus. This would be in red font, but it doesn't go with my kind of the motif of my slide. So Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so our series is the way is life. I've been reading through Jeremiah recently, and this verse stuck out at me. And it says this, your ways, this is God speaking to the people of Israel, your ways and your doings have procured these things for you. Now, what I didn't put up here is the rest of the verse. And the rest of the verse says, this is your wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reaches to your heart. Let me read it in a different terminology for you. It says, your way of life and your actions have brought this on you. This is your punishment. It is very bitter because it has reached your heart. I took 2 lessons away from this in prayer. And the first lesson is that the way I do things procures results in my life. Whatever they're going to be, it will procure results. Playing a lot of video games produces a result. Focusing on my hobby produces a result. Spending all my time in my lawn produces a result. Spending time in prayer produces a result. There is a result to the way we do things. But the second part of this verse, it says, it is your punishment, it is very bitter because it has reached your heart. The second lesson we learn from this is that not only does it have a result, it has a result that will go deep down inside of you and ultimately make you who you are. The ways that you follow, the things that you do, the priorities you have in your life will ultimately make you who you are. And so that's why our series is about following the way of Jesus. As a reminder, our series goal is to equip men and women to lead their families to a life focused on Jesus by providing resources, examples, and opportunities. And we want to lead families. That's why we do this once a month, right? But also, every one of these lessons has been applicable to a single person, a person without kids, a person with kids, a person that's a single parent, youth. It applies to all of us. And so as some refresher in quarter one, we talked about priorities and boundaries. In January, we talked about ownership. And yes, I'm going to continue to read these every week. We are responsible for the growth of our family. Spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, we are responsible. Not our doctors, not our schools, not our pastors. We are responsible. Stop waiting for the church to do it for you. February, eliminating hurry and distraction. We can slow down and be more present. You actually have that choice. I know the world doesn't make you believe that, but you do. March, family focus. We can choose what we focus on. Who would have thought that, right? In quarter two, we talked about spiritual discipline. In April, we talked about prayer. We can be intentional, present, and honest to connect with God. We also talked about leading our families in prayer. In May, we talked about Bible reading. We can read, understand, and apply God's word. In June, we talked about fasting and separation. What was it, Sister Jessica? Hashtag normalized fasting. Was that it? That was a good one. We can remove distractions from our lives. Quarter three, we talked about service and community. In July, we learned that we can be the neighbor to those that God has placed in our lives, and maybe we'll stop waiting for that neighbor to come do something for us. We can be the neighbor. In August, we learned that we can help. There's all kinds of stuff to do. There's opportunities all around us. In September, we learned that we can conquer because we are an army of God. Not conquer being mean, but conquer out there winning the people that God wants to win. And that leads us to our fourth quarter, the last 3 months of the year, October, November, December. And last month, in this quarter, we're talking about becoming the priest of your home. And I think I noted it, but we're following roughly, loosely, an outline placed out by Brother Galen Thompson, where he lists the six primary responsibilities of a priest. The first two were initiating vision and direction. And we talked about how we can fulfill God's vision for our family. Today, we're starting a new topic. And I'm super excited because for this new topic, I've been trying to get other people up here. But I wanted to get a brother of mine to come up here and speak for us. And before he does, though, I want to tell you something about my brother. I could get up here and tell you my brother dresses nice. I could tell you he's a kind husband. I could tell you he's a good dad. I could say he's a decent mini golfer, right? I could say he's fun to be with. And those are all true things, but what I really appreciate about my brother is that he seeks God. He wants to hear from God. Good times, bad times. And because of that, the Bible says, if you seek me, you'll find me. Because of that, because he's always looking, he hears from God. And so when you're sitting talking with Brother Roberto, you can't help but just be like, man, this is encouraging. This is exciting. And so Brother Roberto he seeks God. He hears from God. And brother, the reason I have you up here, and you know this, is because you are a priest of your home. Maybe you don't think yourself perfect. None of us are. But you're trying. You're trying to hear from God for your home. And so, Brother Roberto, I want you to come up here. Share with us what's on your heart for being a priest. God bless you.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, first, definitely want to thank Pastor Peter He's doing a great job, isn't he? Praise God. And I want to thank Pastor Roy and all the pastor staff. I believe that the Lord is speaking and the Lord is moving and the Lord is trying to establish something here. And I'm glad we have mighty men of God who can be sensitive to that and to allow the Lord to move. Because I believe what we're doing here with the series and with the topic tonight is really what God is at, what really God is trying to do. And we'll see that as we go. And another thing I want to say before I get started is, most of you probably know, but I went through the most severe trial that I've ever had in my life, and it lasted around 4 years. And obviously, I'm not here to speak about that tonight, but thank you so much. I love you so much. You were there for me. You were there for my family. You were there for my wife. You were there for my children. And oh, man, thank you, God, for the church. Thank you so much. I love you so much. I just had to get that in. So let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you and you alone, Lord Jesus, are here tonight, and you alone are going to do what you do, Lord, and you're going to get all the glory. And Father, I pray nothing less than that. I pray give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to perceive. I pray you lift every valley, lower every mountain, every hill, make the crooked road straight, the rough places smooth, and help us, Lord, to receive the word of the Lord. And help me, Lord God, to allow you to give the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, believe, and pray. Amen. Praise God. So as you know, my mission is to speak on, to minister and to instruct. And just to make it simple, to minister simply means to serve. And that's what I'm trying to do here today. That's what I try to do with my family. And to instruct simply means to teach. I don't come here with no crazy revelation, no crazy theological language or anything like that. I just want to, there's nothing new under the sun. What they've been doing already and teaching and showing has pretty much hit most of it. And all I'm trying to do is put my part in it and allow God to move and to speak and to do what he wants to do and just highlighting and just focusing on certain aspects of certain things. So that said, I just want to start off with a little bit of building of a foundation. If you know anything about the Bible, you know anything about Jesus, he's a master builder, the Bible says. He's a God of construction. He was a carpenter, so I'm pretty sure he knows how to build. So if we look at the Bible is not 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, do this, do that. I wish it was that simple. I wish it was that easy, but it's not. And because it's not, we have to do our work to understand what it says. And that said, the Lord made, I can't get into too great into detail with this, but basically we know that the Lord set up a foundation with Genesis. It means beginnings. And that said, the Lord has shown me that there is a pattern in the scripture, a model of sorts, that the Lord says, this is the way I work. And again, I don't have time to get into every little detail that I say, but if you just follow me, if you would see that the Bible shows that first the Lord speaks his word. And then after his word, he establishes order. And order comes out of obedience to that word. And then he establishes or he places his glory. And you can see that throughout the Bible. He spoke his word in the beginning. He brought order to the earth. And then the Bible says in Psalm 8:5, he crowned Adam and Eve with glory. You can see that again in the Old Testament with the tabernacle. Gave the word on how to build the tabernacle, how to establish the tabernacle. And then they obeyed it. They brought order to the tabernacle. And then what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came down and filled it with his glory. Again, he does it with the temple. Even in the New Testament, Jesus was the living word. He came. He brought order. He brought his word. There was obedience to the word. And then in the New Testament church, he poured out his support and he poured out his glory. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not doing anything different. And so what he's trying to do with this series is he's trying to bring his word to the family, to the priesthood, to everything we're talking about, and he's trying to bring order. And we need help with that. And this is what it's for. And then he wants to bring his glory. And his glory is what I hunger and I thirst for, and I believe that's everybody's cry and everybody's desire in this place. Praise God. And, you know, a lot of times we want to find, you know, with me, you know, when I was going through my trial, we like to find quick fixes. We like to find miracles. We like to find, you know, God just doing something immediately. And a lot of times that's not the way it works. You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I'm the ways, I'm the truths, I'm the lives. He has a one way of doing it, and it's in this word. And a lot of times we have to pay attention to the details or we can miss God. So again, I'm not going to come up here and act like I'm an expert or act like I'm a person who could talk about fatherhood and talk about the family and talk about the priesthood as if I got everything down. But what I'm trying to do is just to look at the word of God and just see the little steps. I mean, look at the tabernacle, look at the temple, look at all the details, look at with Noah's Ark. Look at all, I mean, you. I was just reading Leviticus, reading Numbers, reading Exodus. It's just detail after detail. And it's like, oh my goodness, but it's all there for a reason. God doesn't waste anything. You know, even when he fed the 5,000, he didn't waste anything. He picked up the leftovers. So everything applies. But what sometimes we do is we just want to look at the highlighted places. We just want to look at and focus on certain big scriptures that come out and pop out and just like, okay, there it is. And that's all you need. But that's not how the Bible works. Amen. So that said, as the Lord is a master builder, as he does build things on foundations, and as he works in that manner, we see in Genesis that there's this figure that arises, Abraham. And we see that it seems that the focus is on Abraham and upon his children and upon their children. And that concludes pretty much the whole book of Genesis. And so, but why did God focus so much on just his family and on just him and his children? Because I believe God was setting a foundation. Before there was a church, there was a family. Before there was a church, there was marriage. Before all that, there was children. And God has to show us and start off this way, even though I'm sure in his heart he would like to get to straight to Acts 2:38 and get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all those things. But knowing the way God works, he doesn't work like that. He sets up, he goes through things with a process. He goes through things with steps. And so therefore, we see God picked this man, Abraham, the father of faith, the Bible talks about him, and a woman, the mother of us all, the Bible says, and Abraham calls the father of us all. And why did he pick him? Well, let's read from Genesis 18:18 through 19. It says, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that what he had spoken to him. Notice he didn't say he needed a great pastor, a great preacher, a great singer, a great miracle worker, a great faith healer, or whatever. He needed a father. And he needed a father to command his children, to charge them in the ways of the Lord, and to bring them up in the ways of God. That's what he was looking for. That's why he picked Abraham. He picked him because he knew he was going to raise a godly seed, a godly family, in order to build his church upon. This whole thing that we call church, this whole thing that we call Christianity, is built upon this one man. Why? Because he was going to raise a godly family. He was going to raise a godly seed. And that's what God needed. And he said, that's why I picked him. And that's what he was bragging upon him to the angels. Because he needed a godly man to do this thing. And let me tell you, he still needs some Abrahams. He still needs some Sarahs. He still needs some men and women to rise up and say, hey, who's going to charge their children? Who's going to raise their children in the Lord? Who can I pick to build this church and to bring revival? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I really want to emphasize this. I really, my job here is to focus on to minister, to serve. We are called to serve, but we're not just with what we normally typically think. We think that to do something great with God a lot of times is to win 1,000 souls or to feed 5,000 to do all those things, but you're called to serve to be a priest of your home. You're called to serve your children. God could have just made every single human being an adult. He could have created that, but he did not do that. There was purpose and reason and meaning and why he made it and created humankind to have children and to have babies and to have kids and the way he designed and chose to do that. So we got to acknowledge that and we got to work with the process. If you look at it, a lot of times I'm mainly speaking about me. And when I'm saying these things, but God is showing, he spoke it and shown it to me. So I'm just passing it on. And I'm just showing you what he's dealing and what he's challenged me and what he's convicted me and what he's still working on me with. So that said, I want to see, we need to see things the way God sees them. And if you look at it, you know, when Jesus was coming into the earth, You know, when you look at it with like human institutions, or you look at nations, and when they want when they have a very important message, or they have a very important mission that they need to get across or send, and to get the information or the news somewhere, what do? Like the United States, do you think they're going to send the mailman who works for the federal government to pass along that important message? No, they're not going to do that. Who are they going to send? They're probably going to send the president or the vice president. They're going to send somebody of importance, right? So look at the Bible. When the Bible says that Mary's going to have Jesus, who did he send? He sent Gabriel. Why? Because this was a very important mission. This is very serious. What was it? What was the mission? To raise a godly child. Jesus could have came on the scene and just straight like a man again. He could have, he was born of a virgin. God could have done a miracle and just came, rise him up as a man. But no, he came as a baby first. And what did he need? He didn't need something simply just to birth him, but he needed a woman and a man to raise up a godly child. So he sent Gabriel, said, this is a very important mission. This is very serious. I need one of the top angels to go take care of this message and get this message across and get this nose. And you say, well, that may be just because that was Jesus. You know, it was the Son of God. Whoa, but check out Zechariah. What happened with him? He sent Gabriel as well to Zechariah. I said, I need another man. I need a John the Baptist. I need somebody to go and it's very important, an urgent message to get this message to Zechariah that you're going to have a son and his name is going to be John and he's going to do great things and he's going to what? Prepare the way of the Lord. Another family, another man of God, another woman of God that I need to raise up this man to prepare the way of the Lord. He needs another man. He needs another Zechariah. He needs another Mary. He needs another person to say, hey, I'll raise up a godly seed. I'll raise up a child for God. I'll make up for your kingdom to prepare the way of the Lord because the Lord is coming again. So who's going to answer his call and who's going to prepare the way of the Lord for him but the next generation? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Malachi 2:15. This is from the New Living Translation. It said, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? I want to know what he wants. Godly children from your union. Again, the Lord didn't have to make marriage. He created that institution. Again, the Lord didn't have to put it in this matter or in this way. Why did he create marriage? He says it right here. He created marriage so that you can provide a godly environment, so that you could raise up godly children, so he can have a godly seed. This is what he wants. Yes, you can have date night. Yes, you can have your spooning time and all that stuff, and it's God's goodness and God's blessing. But don't forget about raising up godly children. Don't forget about why I instituted and created this institution in the first place. Hallelujah. Praise God. Again, Jesus himself practices what he preached. Jesus is called the everlasting Father. Hallelujah. That's why when he came upon the earth, when he would do certain things, he would say, Son, thy sins are forgiven. Son, you're like 30 years old. The chances are you're probably younger than everybody you were talking to. And then he would say, Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. He was a father himself. He came to his own children, his own family. And he himself did not start the New Testament church until he ordered his own children right. He came and he didn't. How many souls did Jesus save? Gentiles. How many people did he baptize? How many people did he fill with the Holy Ghost? How many churches did he plant and build? Was he a failure? Absolutely not. He knew he could not build his church. He knew he could not bring his New Testament revival except he ordered his own house first. He came for the lost sheep of Israel, his own sheep. And he knew and he practiced what he own preaches. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Another scripture that I believe sometimes it shows how sometimes we can miss it. It comes from Matthew 9:35-38. This scripture, sad to say, many times it's taken out of its primary context. I don't think it's taken totally out of context. I think it can be applied the way we normally use it and the way I've used it many times. But the Lord showed me one time what this scripture mainly means. It's from Matthew 9:35-38, King James Version. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The Lord says, you know what? We always say that he's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about lost souls. He's talking about sinners. That's not who he was talking to. He was talking to his own children. He was talking about his own kids. He was talking about the people of Israel. He says, they are the harvest. They are the ones that are ready to be. Why? Because they were sheep, like they were sheep without a shepherd. They were scattered. He said, this is where we miss it a lot of times. We are focusing on the Gentiles. We're focusing on the lost souls. And that's good. And we have to. And there's time for that. But first and foremost, he had to reach his people first. There you go. Look at your sons. Look at your daughters. Look around you. The harvest is plentiful. But sadly, sometimes the laborers are few. And I believe what he means by that is sometimes we're missing the mark. You know, and let me give it more application. He says it in Matthew 23:15. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much the son of hell as yourself. Now, this is an extreme example. I don't think anybody's this far doing this. But what he's saying, he said, what good is it if you go and win a convert and you yourselves are not ready? And this is what the Lord spoke to me. It's all over throughout the Bible with David, with Joseph. You just killed Goliath, David, and you're ready to go preach and you're ready to go become a pastor. You're ready to become a minister. Oh, hold up a little bit. I got some work to do on you still, right? I need to get some things done with you. Why? Because the Bible shows another paradigm in Genesis. Everything produces after its kind. It says that 10 times in the book of Genesis. So God told me, he's like, oh, you want all these souls, or you want to win all this loss. But guess what? They're going to produce just like you. So if you still got pride in your heart, you still got unbelief in your heart, you're still struggling with greed, you're still struggling with selfishness, you're still struggling with this, that, and the other, you think I want to produce that? You think I want to reproduce that? Because everything produces as after its kind. It's a law. It's settled. It's done. It will happen. So what good is it if I go out there and win all these souls and myself is not ready? Praise God. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are stewards of his own children. When I pray about my children, I always say, your children, Lord, because they're really his children. I'm just a steward. He got them all known to me. So I definitely want to keep in heart and mind that I need to do it the way he does it. Amen. Praise God. All right. Last scripture to emphasize the purpose and the reason why God gave us children, and to understand that this is a calling. This is our calling before anything else. Exodus 4:24-26. And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him, talking about Moses, and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely you are a husband of blood to me. So he let him go. Strange story. But if you look at it, something's going on here. Moses has just been called to go preach to the Pharaoh and to the Egyptians and to go deliver. About this time, there's scholars say about 3 million souls in of the Jews that are in Israel. And he got this commission from God himself, so he's not going on his own desires. On his way, the Bible says that the Lord was going to meet him to kill him. Moses, the man you just commissioned? God doesn't exaggerate. That would be a lie if he didn't really mean what he said. But he was really going to kill him. Why was he going to kill him? I know you got a big ministry, Moses. I know you got this big thing you're about to do, save 3 million souls, split Red Seas, do this, do that. And it's so important. His mind was probably flooded with that. His heart was on that. But don't you forget your child. Don't you forget your child that needs circumcision. Don't you forget your home at the house. What good is it if you can save all the souls, but you'll lose your own soul in your own house? And God was not okay with that. Amen. Sadly, I've heard this many times, sadly, from people that that tell me that, you know, their parents were so in the ministry, were so into this and so into that, doing the will of God, doing the work of God, but sadly, we're neglecting a lot of times their own children. That's not the will of God. We got to take care of our own. And even more sad, sometimes it does get passed down to the Zipporahs. Sometimes it does get passed down to the wives. And they usually step up and save the house just like Zipporah did. But that's not right to them either. We got to step up as men. We got to step up as the priests of our home. And we got to say, hey, I need to make sure my children are okay. And Moses could have reasoned, I got important things to do. I got an Old Testament scripture to write. I'm building the kingdom of Israel. It didn't matter. So if it didn't matter for Moses, what makes you think we're going to get an excuse or get a pass? Come on now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. One last scripture to expound on that. The Bible even says in 1 Timothy 3:4-5, One who rules his own household well is the qualification of a bishop, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? It's that simple. This convicted me. Praise God. What makes me think I'm going to get up here and preach and teach and pastor or whatever God has to call me, and I don't take care of my own children, right? It's too easy to get it and pass it down to the pastor. It's too easy to get it and pass it down to the Sunday school. It's too easy to get it and pass it down to Vicky Vernon. It's too easy to get it and pass it down to your wife, sadly. That ain't happening. The Lord showed me. I need to take care of my own household. I need to take care of my own children. I need to raise up my children in the things of God. Amen? Praise God. So, now comes instruction and teaching. Well, I don't know about you, but a lot of times, even right now when I got up today, I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know how I'm going to say it. I can't tell my left hand from my right hand sometimes. But he commanded us to teach, the Bible says. Exodus, I don't have the scripture, but it says you should teach your children diligently the things of God. It talks about how the word that he commands us shall be in our hearts, and thou shalt teachest them, talkest them when thou sittest in thine house, and thou when thou walkest in the way, when thou risest up, and when thou liest down. I forgot the exact scripture, but praise God. So it's on our job. He doesn't say, and your pastor shall teach them diligently. He didn't say, and your Sunday school shall teach them diligently. I shall teach them diligently, not just on Christmas, not just on Easter, not just on Sundays or whatever we try to do sometimes. Again, I'm preaching to myself here, but I need to teach them diligently. Hallelujah. And he said that word should be in thine heart. It's got to be here first. How can I teach them unless I have it in my heart first? Amen. Praise God. So there's a lot. This is not exhaustive. This is not something that I'm going to obviously hit on every single detail. And but I have a few things that I feel like the Lord is trying to challenge and is trying to communicate with us and how and what to instruct our children on. Praise God. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Our children are looking up to us. I look at my children and I look at my boys. Man, they hang on every word I say. Man, they get so excited when I just get involved in their lives, and when I speak into their hearts and I speak into their lives, they're looking to us. He put it that way. Why? So we can make them the next Michael Jordan or the next Brett Favre or the next, you know, Albert Einstein? No. So we can make them the next John the Baptist, the next Elijah, the next Elijahs. That's why he did it. Praise God. And if we don't do it, let me tell you something, somebody else is going to do it. Somebody's going to take it and fill that void. Believe me, I know, because I ran to gangs. I ran to gang leaders. I ran to drug dealers because I was looking for that. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So here's a few things that I put down here to kind of expound on things that I feel that we really need to focus on and instructing. I put down faith. Genesis 18:12 says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? And my Lord being old also, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? You know the story, most of us do. God tells Abraham that he's going to have a child 1 year from when he visits him. He visits him seemingly with two angels and a theophany of himself. And he tells him, and Sarah's listening at the tent door. She's not in their company, it seems. And when she hears it, she laughs. But what intrigues me and what interests me is that when God notices it, he questions Abraham. He doesn't question Sarah. Why? Because he is the priest of his house. Why is she doubting? Why is she unbelieving? I put that back on you. What are you doing in your house? You're responsible for the faith in your house. You're responsible for the things of God. You're responsible for the holiness in your house. You're responsible for well away in the environment and the culture of your own home. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So we ought to be the tone setters in our home. We ought to be the ones that set the tone for the love of God, for the fear of the Lord, for the peace of God, for the fruits of the Holy Spirit, for the word of the Lord, A, B, C, E, et cetera, et cetera. Amen? And God puts that on us as fathers especially, are the priests of our home. Praise the Lord. We got to instruct them on love. Praise God. Let's go to Luke 15, 25 through 31. You know the story. You know the story of the prodigal son. His son goes and does his thing and comes back to the house. And the father, you know, greets him with love and adoration and praise and celebration. And then we see this scenario that happens with the older brother. And he says, the brother didn't want to come in. He was upset. He was angry and upset about what was going on. And the father goes out there and to talk to him and plead to him to come in. And look what he says to the father. Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. The Lord revealed this to me one day. I can't go into great detail of my past, but I was a man who was really thirsty and hungry for love. And I remember when I was trying to live for God at times. I remember when I was trying to, you know, follow the past. I didn't really feel the love of God in my life the way I wanted to, the way I would desire to. I would see great, awesome, powerful people of God that seemed that the love of God was just all over them. And they would talk about his love and all. And I was like, why don't I feel that? And sadly, if we don't get that love, it will breed resentment to others, especially our own brethren. It will bring a hurt people, right? And the Lord told me, just like he told the prodigal son brother, he says, all I have is yours. It's all for the asking. It's all for the taking. Didn't I say, come? Didn't I say, draw close to me, and I will draw close to you? Didn't I say, I will shed abroad the love of God in your heart by the Holy Ghost? And when I got it, I opened up my heart, and I asked the Lord, fill me with your love. Fill me. Reveal your love to me, and he has. Again, I can't go deep into detail. But let me tell you, it's true with God in us, but it's true also with our children. We need to show them love. I became very a hardened gang member and criminal in my life, and the sin was growing in my life, and the culture of the gang culture that I was involved in taught and its values were to be hard and to be tough and to not be in any way do anything that's lovey-dovey or something that is associated with love. You know, that was actually against that culture or whatever, and that got built up in me for years and years and years. But when I came to the church, that's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. Your God is a fierce lover. Read the Song of Solomon. He's a mighty, a passionate lover. And I remembered I was struggling so hard. You know, they say you could take the person out the hood, but you can't take the hood out the person. Well, God can. But he had to do that, right? He had to take the Egypt out of the children of Israel, right, when he brought them into the wilderness. And so I remember I was so, it was a stronghold. I remember I couldn't even hardly lift up my hands and sing or definitely make a loud noise or certainly not cry because, man, that was feminine. That was weak or whatever. And gladly, in the Lord's mercy, he finally delivered me from that. But again, sometimes we can do that with our own children. It's uncomfortable. I don't feel like that. We can't do that. Even with our wives, we need to show the love of God. They're looking to us to say, what is love? They need to start it off. God put it this way so we can set the tone, so we can build a foundation in their lives, so they can understand the concepts and the things of God to prepare them and ready them for when they're older in order to fulfill it with the Lord themselves. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we need to instruct them in the word. The Bible says that Jesus often says that you heard that it was said, but I say. My children hear a lot of things sometimes. They hear things from the news. They hear things from sometimes their cousins and their worldly friends here and there. You know, not friends, but, you know, people they come into association with sometimes. But I have to say, you have heard that it was said, but I say, according to the word of God, we have to teach our children. We have to have those Bible devotions and those family churches in our own home, and we got to instruct them just like Jesus taught his disciples, right? Amen. Luke 11, 1 through 2 shows that when Jesus would pray, he was praying with passion. He was praying with heart because the disciples noticed it. And then they asked Jesus, well, teach us how to pray. So clearly Jesus was being very expressive in his prayers and showing and sending an example to his disciples that motivated them to ask him how to pray. We got to pray in our homes. I remember my mother when I was a kid, when she would pray and she would scream and yell and cry. Man, that taught me how to pray. And that taught me to help me to do that. And my children, they'll hear me. I'll be praying. I'll be crying. I'll be yelling. I'll be screaming. They're already used to that. But somebody's got to set the standard. Somebody's got to set a culture. Somebody's got to set a godly tradition in the lives of their children. And you got to teach them how to pray by word and by example. And that's with all the things of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We got to teach them how to be holy. We got to teach them holiness. Joshua 7:24 shows how there was a man named Achan, and he brought something that he shouldn't bring into his home. And because of it, it cost him his life and the lives of his children. Notice he didn't bring in drugs, a prostitute, or all the things that we think, okay, I would, that would destroy a family. He brought in gold, silver, and a robe that he should have never brought in that was against the word of God, and it destroyed his family. We got to be careful about what we bring into our homes. We got to be careful that we don't touch the unclean thing, right? We got to be, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will accept you. Amen? We can't, the Bible says, even with my children, sadly, sometimes, things come up, and, I'm just gonna say it here, but I don't let them have worldly friends. But we witness to people of the world, to Gentiles. I mean, I have people come into my home that most people I'd be scared to bring into their home, and I witness to them. I bring them to church and I pray some of them through the Holy Ghost and better. But no, the Bible says, "Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever desires to be a friend of this world is an enemy of God." You think I'm gonna let my children have worldly friends? Are you kidding me? Hey, I didn't get this from the funny papers like Bishop used to say. This is from the book. Hallelujah. I don't want to be an enemy of God. The last thing I need out of having demons and devils trying to take me down to hell and eternity into my children is to then go on and be an enemy of God by allowing and trying to be a friend of this world. It's still holiness. I didn't write the book. The book is from God himself. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We got to teach them how to put God first. We got to teach them how to handle trials. We got to teach them how to live this life. And like with my trial that just happened, that I talked about, for time's sake, I'll just put it like this. If there was a button that I could have pushed that said I could leave this world, I would have broke the button. If it was permissible by God, I would have hit it 1,000 times. That's how bad my trial was. That's how bad the pain was. Praise the Lord. But guess what? I could not stop telling and teaching and instructing my children in the things of God. I would be in my bed sick. I'd be in my bed barely able to move. Wouldn't shower for days. Could barely just function. And man, we still had to pray together. We still had to read our Bible together. You set the tone. They're looking to you. You could be the determining factor of their own salvation. The Bible says that Job, a lot of people give Job's wife a hard time because she said, curse God and die. And Job, Lord, should we not good accept good and bad from the Lord? And as for me and my house, we should serve the Lord. We speak all that. And Job, look what happened. Because he stayed strong in the faith, because he continued in the things of God, his wife bare him 10 more children. He possibly was the reason why her soul stayed saved. She lost 10 children. That's not easy. That's a hard trial. And I thank God for his mercy because he didn't just write her off. Because Job stuck strong, his house was saved, and it was even blessed double at the end. We got to stay strong for God. We got to teach our children. We got to stick with the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And last two things I'll say is, how are we going to do this unless we do it the way it's shown in the scripture? And the way it's shown in the scripture is that the priest would go and consecrate himself first. He would go and minister before the Lord in order to get his heart, in order to get his spirit, in order to get his word, in order to instruct and serve his children. So your homework and assignment is you need to ask the Lord what he wants to do for your family. You may say, that's pretty simple. What's profound about that? Let me tell you what's profound about that. Consider the rich young ruler. He knew something he needed to hear from God. Bible shows that he was obeying every commandment. He was, Jesus said, you know, he said, all these things have I done from my youth up. And Jesus, you know, notice that when he asked Jesus what he must do to receive eternal life, Jesus kind of gave him just a quick little answer. And the rich young ruler is like, no, I don't think that suffices. What commandments are you talking about? And Jesus gives him another kind of like just a specific, a direct answer. And he says, yes, all these things I do, but what do I lack? And what this shows us is that, you know what? We can go about our days, we can go about our lives, and we can be very general. We can be very, you know, superficial with the Lord. And he'll give you those just superficial answers. He'll give you those little generic, you know, answers. But if you really want to know what the Lord has for you and has for your children, you really need to ask him sincerely until you get an answer. And let me tell you, he has a lot of things to teach. Last thing I'll say is in Malachi 4:4-6, and the musicians can come if they want. It says, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will return the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with the curse. This is the last message he gave to the Old Testament church. And scholars show that this is a dual prophecy, that is the last message kind of that goes and aligns with the last message to the New Testament church for the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And what does he have to say to Israel? What does he have to say to the church? You want revival? I want revival. You want 20,000 souls? I want 20,000 souls. And he will do that. But just like I did and shown you myself, the hearts of the fathers need to return to the children. And then the children's hearts will return back to the fathers. And if you don't do this, if you don't take this series, everything we're preaching and teaching, he says, you know what? The world is dependent upon you. Others' version says, otherwise I will smite the earth with the curse. So many tragedies, so many things are being done in evilness and wickedness. The Bible says, you know, that gross darkness shall cover the earth, but the Spirit of the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. He's looking to us, and it starts with the family. It starts with our children. So I want to ask everybody to stand. Praise God. I want to ask for the fathers to come and grab their children and grab their wives, and I want us to come and pray. The Lord is calling. He's asking for, where are the Abrahams that I have for today? Where are the Sarahs that I have for today? Where are the mighty men of valor? Where are the men that I can count on that will charge and order their home and to teach and instruct their children? And then I can bring this great time revival. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of hope. This is what the Lord has spoken to me for my own life. And again, all I'm doing is passing it down. Praise the Lord. So let us pray and let us ask the Lord to renew our hearts and to kindle our hearts and instill his plan and his heart and his spirit and his word and our ways for our children. They're looking to us, and you have authority in the spirit. You have authority in the commandment and the commission of God to bless your children, to set that tone, to arise that faithfulness, to arise that holiness in your home and with your children. And what you're doing will last for eternity. This is no small thing. Despise not small beginnings. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come asking you, forgive us, Lord Jesus, where we may have been slacking at times, Lord. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, where we may be missing it at times. Help us to understand. Help us to have your heart. You're a father. You know what you want. You know how to do it. We don't know, Lord. Teach us. Show us. Direct us, oh, Lord God. Fill us, Lord God. Give us the heavenly vision. Give us the vision for your children. Teach us. Give us the thoughts that you have for them, Lord. Give us the plans, Lord, like you did it for so many times and for so many people of old. In the name of Jesus, rise up. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, rise up and be the mighty men of God that God has called you to be, with the anointing of the Lord Jesus upon you. In Jesus' mighty name, be filled with the Spirit. You have it. You have it in you. You got it. In the name of Jesus, be filled. In the name of Jesus, be directed. In the name of Jesus, answer his call. And in the name of Jesus, let God get all the glory. Let him bring his word. Let him bring his order. And let him bring his glory. And we give you all the glory, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Continue to pray. and let the Lord work and move upon your family. Hallelujah.
Seek your face. Come and make your throne upon our praise. Here in this place, have your way. The moment that we see you, we are changed. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender, we fall down. And show us your
show us your glory. Let every burden.
Praise God. Praise God. Somebody told me once that God speaks to us through the Spirit of God, the man of God, and the Word of God. Right? And so Brother Roberto told us that God speaks, and there's order, and His glory comes in. And so that was the Word. And the Word is what we've been reading, and the Word came from the man of God, and the Word's going to be what you read tomorrow morning or tonight before you go to bed. But we have to put this obedience into order. And so I know you said that wasn't supposed to be convicting, Brother Roberto, but it was. And sometimes I need to get kicked in the butt, right? Sometimes we got to hear from God, and God's our Father. And as fathers, we know sometimes we have to do that. So I appreciate you listening to God. I appreciate it, Brother Roberto. Thank you. And now it's what we do with it. God's speaking to us. What are we going to do when we leave here? I don't care if you're a father, a mother, a kid. What are we going to do to order our lives? Because when we listen to the Word, when we hear it, which it was right here, no doubt about it, and we order it, God's glory will come into our life. You want to see God's glory in your life? You want to see God's glory in this church, in your family, in this community? You want to see 20,000 souls? Go home and order your family. Go home and order your life. You're by yourself? Order your bedroom. Make your bed. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Roberto. Everybody, God bless you. Have a great night. We'll see you Sunday.